listening to KPPP LP FM Radio.
Yeah, this is me. Look at me. Look at me. I look like something the cat had in the alley last night. You know that ain't right. No. I mean, let me tell you something, woman. You made a big, fat, greasy bum out of me, and I ain't gonna stand for it. I gotta tell you something. Yes, here it is. You made me what I am today. I hope you're satisfied. You should be. You dragged and dragged me down until my very soul within me died. Yeah, not my shoe soles, no. You shattered all my dreams. You pulled me from the start. And though you're not true, may God bless you. You know I want him to bless you. That's the curse of an aching heart, yeah. Can I have it? Curse on me, please don't. I can't take it. Once is enough. You gonna put another one on me? You dirty dog. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Knock his vomit car.
And this is a Mexican Crossing Lines. You're listening to Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
On KPPP LPFM. We are broadcasting on Live 365, and you'll be able to find us at your radio dial at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves. And today, I'm going to cover a topic that we've talked about more in general terms before. Through the militarization of our police. But we're going to cover specifically SWAT raids. And today's show is going to be about SWAT for suicides.
Oh, boy.
Why are we using SWAT teams for suicide attempts? Why are we responding to mental health crises with military force? I keep trying to tell people this is Fargo, not Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, the out-of-control, knee-jerk reaction to always support the police no matter what they're doing and never question what they're doing. And the access that they have to people's homes and to people's lives, especially when they're using this kind of force, is something that we should question. So we will be covering all of the items under suicide, SWAT for suicide, on today's program, Mexican Crossing Lines. And actually, the show for today was prompted by my comment on social media. I posted that I thought it was insane that we had so much use of force. Did you see the story of the man that killed himself in the parking lot of the church in Fargo on November 1st?
Yes, I did. It was disturbing to me, too. One, the actual news report was lacking any real information. And so all I had was my imagination and what comments were being made on Facebook. And people on Facebook acted like they had all the information.
Yeah.
And I'm also really disturbed when military-style vehicles drive around our streets and soldiers hop out with military rifles and pretty much for anything in this community. It's very disturbing.
when anybody draws their gun in your presence, that should disturb you because it can kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Same as if you saw somebody brandishing any other kind of weapon.
Exactly.
You know, if cops fear for their life to the degree that people defend the fact that the officer so violently arrested Sandra Bland,
mm-hmm.
Who later was found dead in her cell, supposedly of a suicide, that man, people defended him because she was smoking a cigarette. If a cigarette can be seen by people as threatening, why are they not horrified at the fact that we now normally see these giant police vehicles, like, you know, tanks,
mm-hmm.
armored vehicles with a turret on it,
mm-hmm.
in a machine, you know, like a cannon sticking out of it. This is common, and you can find it next to the bouncy slide, right at the ice cream social in the summer for insert thing police go to with
mm-hmm.
with this military grade force. And the thing that bothers me about this is the fact that people are trying to justify it as something that the police have to do. They have to have this stuff.
Yeah.
They have to use the SWAT. They must do it because there was a gun. Hey, guys, guess what? Guns existed before SWAT was used on a regular basis. And folks just, it's almost as if they have no memory. The people that are talking about this are at least 20 years old,
mm-hmm.
at least.
Yes.
And so in their own lifetime, they have seen an escalation of the use of these types of military-style raids, no-knock raids and quick-knock raids, etc.,
mm-hmm.
Of SWAT teams, and yet they pretend as if SWAT teams have always been there, you know,
yeah,
just
yeah.
like their
like
Xbox, you know. Or
it's like it's normal. It's like
it's
normal.
It's always been there.
And it's not normal. It's not normal at all. In fact, the escalation of the militarization of the police has been very recent. And
very, very recent.
And people, all they have to do is they have to just think back to when they were younger and the police weren't equipped like that.
See, that's the problem. I don't think people are thinking. I don't think they're thinking back. I don't think they're thinking forward. I don't think that they're thinking what's around them. I don't think they're thinking, period.
Yeah.
Because it only requires for you to use your eye holes and look at things and make decisions about what you see with your eye holes.
That's right. And, you know, and the police have done, you know, they've done a strategic job of pumping propaganda into the media, taking their stuff out to community events and
mm-hmm.
trying to normalize the police being equipped with all these weapons.
Yep.
And, you know, the media just laps it up. They do reports straight from the police desk. They don't do any really real reporting when it comes to
or
things.
Or follow-up.
Or follow-up, yes.
And then you're just sitting there going, what happened? Where was this at? What was this for?
Yeah.
What was achieved? Well, we're going to talk about all of this. I'm going to share with you some of the comments that people were talking on social media about. And I've got lots of links to this radio program because there's a lot of information out there that folks can go and Google. And so I'm going to give you the links to all these articles so you can look for yourself at where this information came from. But we started off by talking about this church parking lot thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what kind of kicked off the whole conversation. And here's some of the comments I got from folks. One of the comments that I got was, they needed to call, you know, they got a call that there was a man with a gun. That's why they needed to have the SWAT.
Okay.
Here's my response to that. I've already answered your question a little bit earlier. We had guns before we had SWAT teams. We didn't always respond to a gun somewhere with SWAT teams.
Mm-hmm.
SWAT teams were usually deployed, and they weren't even in existence until they were created in the 70s during the drug war, and they were increased during the 80s, and then, you know, things have gotten out of control now to where we have about 20,000 no-knock raids in this country every year.
Wow.
And we have the use of SWAT, you know, is exponentially increased since they were created. But they were created originally for active shooter situations, people that were barricaded inside of a building and were posing an imminent threat.
That's right.
To shoot some other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they're used to look for and actually the majority of their use in home raid is in home raids, and the majority of home raids are used for drugs.
Okay.
For the drug war.
Yeah.
Which today people are talking all over the country about getting rid of the stupid drug war.
Exactly.
Politicians, the president has been talking mm-hmm. about what the drug war has done. You know, Michelle Alexander wrote that fantastic book about mass incarceration,
mm-hmm.
The New Jim Crow.
Exactly.
And Radley Balco has a book out, which I am currently audio listening to, the new audio book of his, which is Rise of the Warrior Cop. And in it, he covers the rise of the use of SWAT teams. And he's an excellent journalist, reporter. He's covered the increased militarization of police in this country, and he's reported a lot on investigations of what has happened in the police department, in the Department of Justice. So if you want to really learn where the history of policing comes from, how did we get to where we are in policing,
mm-hmm.
you really should find out more about this rise in militarization. And Radley Balco's book is certainly a great resource for that.
Mm, good.
In addition, I'm going to walk you through the church parking lot death on November 1st. I'm going to talk about the other Fargo's use of SWAT for suicides. One in article on June 29th, where there was a suicide in North Fargo, mm-hmm. and then an article that came out July 3rd, where they specifically did an article in the In Forum focusing on the use of SWAT robots for suicide,
wow.
specifically. Interestingly, we'll also have an article where they talk about, on June 29th also, came out same day, it was an update to the standoff and evacuation and the suicide of that North Fargo man, which said that they only used the SWAT 12 to 13 times per year.
Only.
And another article from October 5th, in which the SWAT team is also sent out to respond to a suicide, October 5th, 2015. And we're going to compare what these things say, what these officers say, what these articles tell us about our local use of SWAT teams for a mental health crisis. Let me just say that again.
Oh yeah.
Suicide usually is a problem that a symptom of long-term depression or short-term depression. And also, we'll have two articles, one from The Week, where it talks about the troubling rise of SWAT teams, and another from Mother Jones, which talks about how SWAT teams kill innocent people, in addition to not being the proper response for suicides, because that has to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Using police for mental health issues is not an answer either, period.
Yes.
People that have bipolar symptoms, people that have, and if you want to find out how this is absolutely not the way to deal with your loved one's mental health care crisis, just Google SWAT mental health and kill.
Okay.
Just type in Google the search, SWAT kills mentally ill. SWAT kills mentally ill, and all over the place. One of the more recent ones that we heard of was the man in Utah, SWAT team. And the Free Thought Project does a lot of these articles. You can just look on their website and find a ton of these that say, you know, mentally ill man calls for help, SWAT shows up and kills him.
Hmm.
Family calls police for help with mentally ill or suicidal person in their home, SWAT shows up and kills them. Police
wow.
show up and kill them.
Wow.
Obviously, the best way to deal with the sick is not with a gun
mm-hmm.
or handcuffs or violent force. It is with doctors, hospitals, medications, and care.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the fact that people are okay with reading stories in our local press that say that we are responding to a mental health crisis with violent force, with military tactics, with machine guns, and that no one blinks an eye, and that when we have these discussions online, people's response to me saying something like, what the heck is going on? What's wrong with our community? Why are we responding to mental health crises with guns and machine guns at that?
Mm-hmm.
And like Army SEAL looking people. Why is that happening? Why is the whole neighborhood shut down? Why are streets being cordoned off? Why are people being evacuated from their buildings? Why are people being locked down inside of churches? Why are children being terrorized? Why? Because everyone responds, there was a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a gun. Folks, don't lie to yourselves. Guns do not create SWAT teams. We created SWAT teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we created them in response to the drug war. And we created them primarily for very dangerous live shooter situations. So person with a weapon. Do you know how many times in this country we deploy SWAT teams to go and serve warrants where there's not even necessarily any type of weapon or danger?
Wow.
In what way is a suicidal person going to necessarily, absolutely be a threat? I could see how they could be a threat. To
mm-hmm.
And obviously, they're threatening their own lives.
Yeah.
But the reason why I find this so disturbing is because many people, too afraid, unable to commit suicide on their own, will do so by calling the police, by having the police arrive, by threatening to shoot the police when they never intended to do it, so that the police will shoot them. And that is how many times these things turn out.
Wow.
Just Google what I told you, and you will actually see in most of those stories that those persons pointed a gun at someone. We had someone do this recently in Grand Forks,
mm-hmm.
one of the stories, and the officer in the story actually says that it's very likely that this is a suicide by cop type of situation. The officers themselves know this, that many of the people who don't have the, they lack the nerve to shoot themselves or kill themselves, even though that was what they were threatening to do, use the police to do it. And all they have to do is point a gun at some of the officers, and then they get shot.
Wow.
Now, in one of these stories, one of these guys that we recently heard the SWAT team was sent out for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a link to it within these articles, but if you Google in our InForum, suicide, SWAT, and Fargo, you will find many articles right there in the InForum. You don't even have to look for other media, just right there.
All right.
And one of those articles was about this one guy, and he had a standoff with the cops for 4 hours. And he shot at him. This guy shot at the cops. In his hearing, okay, there was 14 armed officers from the SWAT team that went to testify on behalf of the prosecution to have this man put away for attempted murder. The Fargo police SWAT team testified that this man, and that there is no question in their minds, this man was trying to murder them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it said in his testimony?
What?
From his defense, they said he was up for attempted murder,
mm-hmm.
of police officers, multiple police officers, many of whom saw, they said they saw the bullets go right past them, go into the walls next to them, and that many of them had been so traumatized by this event that they had considered leaving the force.
Really?
Yeah. That's how terrorized they were. So this guy was charged with attempted murder, terrorizing, and a bunch of other stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was given, as a result of his defense, he was given time served and some probation.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow. I have to say is, it's a good thing the dude was white.
Yeah, exactly. That's
totally very a good thing that he was white, because
mm-hmm.
that could have gone so much more worse for
mm-hmm.
him. The other thing is, his defense was, he lacked the courage to shoot himself.
Wow.
He had been suffering from, guess what, long-term mental illness and alcohol abuse. So the guy had a double whammy, comorbidities of alcohol abuse and mental illness,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to die, and when he couldn't pull the trigger, he decided to shoot at the cops so that they would kill him.
Wow.
So what would have happened if they hadn't sent out the SWAT team is what I'm wondering. What would have happened in many of these scenarios where the people did not want to kill themselves or couldn't do it on their own and wanted the cop to come out there so they could point a gun at the cop, because they know as soon as you point a gun at a cop, he's going to shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those people would be alive today? I don't know. I do know that a lot of innocent people die simply for being in the wrong house when a SWAT raid happens,
because
a lot of those happen as well. In New York, in one of the reports that we'll have available for you on our website, and people can find all of those on kpppfm.com.
That's right.
And you can comment on the People's Press Project on Facebook, where I post these articles, and see what kind of response I get from people.
Mm-hmm.
Or on my social media accounts, you can also tweet me at @media_PPP. And you can leave comments right on our show, on the podcast. But you can also call in or send us an email, right, Duke?
That's right. You can call 701-566-0917. You can leave a voicemail. We may play it on air, so tell us who you are and where you live. And you can email us at cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com.
And you know, I find it interesting because a lot of people, they won't use the call-in line. They'll call me.
Oh, yeah.
Or they'll text me.
Yeah.
Or they'll send me messages over Facebook. That's fine, too. I don't care. However you feel most comfortable. I know a lot of people like to use the social media method. And if you like to post on comments that people make on stories that that are on our Facebook page, that's fine too.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I like to read those comments and kind of get an idea of where people are at, what's in their head. And here's what some of the comments of people in this community were. One of the comments was that there was a gun on the scene and they didn't know if he was dangerous. He could have been a really dangerous person.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I responded to that. Really? Because if he had been a dangerous person, people would have reported to the dispatcher and to the police that there was a man waving a gun and threatening people with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yet that didn't happen. That did not happen. They said he was in a car and that he was suicidal. That's what the police knew.
Yeah.
So the fact that there was SWAT team and two different sheriff's departments, deputies there, plus police, plus the firefighters, plus the ambulance service, plus they blocked off traffic, plus they locked down the church, and they kept the people there.
Wow.
They kept the people there. Hmm. I mean, I don't even understand. And I don't mean to tell the police how to do their jobs, because I don't know how you secure a location or whether it's better to evacuate people, because sometimes they evacuate people,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they lock them down, and it's difficult to know who or how they make these decisions. I will say this, though. These are all completely, in my opinion, overkill to a situation that is not the right type of use for the SWAT team.
Exactly.
Of this community or of any other community.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. I definitely want to hear yours. So if you're just tuning in, we are talking about SWAT for suicides. This is Cindy and Duco Meshemp, and you're listening to another episode of A Mexican Crossing Lines on KPPP LPFM. We are broadcasting online through Live 365. You can find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM. Here in the Fargo-Moorhead region, we are adding local color to your airwaves. And it is something that we should talk about in the context of color also,
mm-hmm.
because obviously law enforcement disproportionately negatively impacts communities of color,
yep.
poor communities, the mentally ill, the disabled. the minorities in our communities. And so that is why we have to be even more vigilant to make sure that these institutions and agencies and groups like such as SWAT that have firepower, the power to take away our freedom, the power to cage us like animals, the power to kill people,
mm-hmm.
that we know exactly how they do things and why they do things, and that we ask the right questions, and that we demand accountability.
Exactly.
We should be asking why this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's wrong. I know people feel that it's right to defend the police in every situation. I beg to differ. I think we need to question. One of my good buddies said, hey, I would rather have them err on, how did he put it? He said it would be better for them to overreact to the situation than to underreact.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And I got really upset at that one. I was like, yeah, I'm sure you would, because as a white dude, the majority of the times that you see the SWAT team is when they're responding to a situation like this, or getting a cat out of a tree, or when they're handing out stickers at the ice cream social next to their giant tank.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you get to see them and they're smiling at you. We get to, folks of color get to see them when they're knocking down someone's door at a hotel, or dragging our neighbors out of their house
mm-hmm.
half naked,
mm-hmm.
or beating down a bunch of people of color that we know and love.
Yeah.
That's how we experience them. And it makes for a vastly different experience of the police and of SWAT teams and of the militarization of the police. To us, it is terrifying because it has been used to terrify our communities
mm-hmm.
disproportionately. To you, it seems like, something that you're willing to let the chips fall where they may. Of course, because the chips never fall near you.
Exactly.
How convenient. But you know what? We do have to say, this is not right. Even if it's not directly affecting you right in this moment, you shouldn't ever condone this kind of use of military force in our communities. We're supposed to be defending the Second Amendment and our use of right to have guns, not so that we can overthrow the government. Okay, that's not what they're for. Not so that it's supposed to be so we can keep the government from having standing armies, right, that take
mm-hmm.
over our community so that we do not live in a police state. And every time I hear one of these people, many of them who are my own very liberal progressive friends, say that it's absolutely okay and that we need to support our police, and of course we shouldn't question when they send out the military to roam our streets and bang up our citizens, I say, excuse me? Are you into fascism?
Mm-hmm.
Since when do we promote this as a value in our community?
Exactly.
In Fargo, freaking
mm-hmm.
Moorhead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't they allow for people to carry guns in church in North Dakota?
Yeah.
Didn't they pass that a couple years ago?
That's right.
When the senator that came here from Arizona that got shot in the head.
Gabby Gifford.
When Gabby Gifford came to Fargo, we covered that for the People's Press Project. Our mayor didn't even go to the event.
That's right.
There were people there from the state legislature that I got interviewed. I got interviews from who said that the majority of all of the bills that went through the state legislature expanded gun rights.
Yeah.
And terrified the women I was talking to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But here we are. Everyone in our community immediately jumps to the defense of this unconscionable situation that we have, where we are using the SWAT to deal with suicides in Fargo, Moorhead, USA. What is wrong with this picture? We're going to come back after a break and discuss this, because it has to be said, this is insane. As absolutely, there's no reason why it should be happening. This is a lot darker than our last topic. The last time we were talking about zombies and cultural appropriation and racism and how not to be racist for Halloween, all very important topics also. But this is a life and death situation, literally.
Yeah, definitely.
And we need to know what is going on. Why are we using SWAT teams to deal with suicides in Fargo. Right after this break, we're going to listen to some electricity.
Yes, that's right. It's Culture Code. It's from the non-commercial song release section, and it's featuring Michael Zunga.
We're back. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines on KPPP LPFM. We are broadcasting online through Live 365, and you'll be able to find us at 88.1 FM on your radio dial, adding local color to your airwaves. Today we are talking about SWAT for suicide. Is that how we should be responding to a suicide in our community?
No.
With SWAT teams?
No, not at all.
In fact, I don't think we should be using SWAT teams as much as we have been, and we should be talking about this.
That's right, and actually there's no venue for you to talk about this. The police departments are actually their own islands. Supposedly we're supposed to be able to talk to our council people, our city council, or city commissioners, because they oversee all the city business. But the police have been doing their own thing for a long time, so these things have been brewing and growing, and you know, and there's really no way you can do anything about it. You can go to some meetings. There aren't public meetings. There aren't any ways you can file a complaint with the police department, but that's very exclusive and secluded. You have to walk in there and actually meet with the commander and sit down and, you know, tell him what you think about something, but it's really not going to go anywhere because there's really very, very little public accountability. The police investigate themselves, exonerate themselves. The city commissioners work with the police. They're in with the police. Police help get them elected, and there's really no way for the community to really have any accountability with the police department, especially when it comes to the SWAT team.
I haven't actually seen anybody other than our campaign that started last year.
Yeah.
Hashtag cop coverage, where we were encouraging people to film the police,
mm-hmm.
so that we can bring greater accountability to the police.
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard anybody question the use of SWAT or the increased militarization. Well, I suppose I shouldn't say completely, because Leon Francis has been one of the people that has criticized the militarization, increased militarization of police,
mm-hmm.
as well. And there have been others. But what's really troubling to me is how these stories are just reported and everyone acts as if it's just par for the course.
Yeah, just normal.
Absolutely normal. So let's go through these, right?
Yeah.
The suicide on November 1st, they blocked off parts of University Drive. They locked down members of the church. People were not allowed to leave. This causes fear, inconvenience. They used resources from two sheriff's departments, firefighters, ambulance, police, SWAT. Then let's going backwards in time. June 29, 2015. Let's go all the way back into the summer, okay?
All right.
There was a man who was suicidal. And the story in the paper said that they sent someone to do a welfare check, and then they heard a shotgun. The officers backed away and waited for a SWAT team and a negotiator to arrive after they heard the shot.
Okay.
The SWAT then deployed a robot.
Wow.
And found a dead male inside the apartment with what police believe was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Okay?
Mm. Yeah.
Negotiators never established any contact with the person inside the residence. The building was the first floor of the building was evacuated, and people were left to wait outside until about 3:30. Okay,
wow.
So think about the number of the hours that people had to have use of their home. Just imagine a whole group of people being removed from their apartment building. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You can't. Go inside your apartment building, and some of these stories you hear people saying that they left pets inside of their apartment buildings,
yeah.
alone, and they were worried for them, and that they were upset because they couldn't go check on their animals.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you have to leave, if you're an elderly person and you can't just evacuate when the police come and throw you out of your apartment or your building. I mean, this is a loss of our own personal freedoms and ability to have security in our own home,
mm-hmm.
because of the use of SWAT for other people.
That's right. And I haven't even really researched what rights you have in that situation, because if the SWAT team shows up, do they have martial law rights that they can just tell people what to do?
Apparently so.
You know, I understand that there can be a concept of you need your safety. You know, if something's happening that you are in danger, that you would be expected to leave. But even during the floods here, they would try to do mandatory evacuations, but they actually couldn't. People could stay in their homes and deal with the floodwaters. So I don't understand why a SWAT team can walk up to some place and tell everybody they have to do something. I mean, if you resist, would you be arrested? Probably.
Probably. I'm guessing you would. Well, anyway, in the SWAT the SWAT raid that they did on June 29th, there was an update to that. In which they said that, I said there was 12 to 13 times they used the SWAT per year. As of that story, they had already used the SWAT 6 times.
Okay.
In the July story, they said that they'd already used the SWAT 6 times.
Okay.
So as one person that had been evacuated from his home in that neighborhood, that they had to sit outside of their homes for several hours, I think it was like 4 hours, said he was from Boston. Okay, this is Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And that his father was a cop. And he said that what he witnessed in Fargo was, I'll quote him, quite surprising.
Hmm.
He also said that he had never seen anything like this. He said he moved to the Fargo area because where he came from, it got to where he couldn't walk down the streets in his town safely. And he said that this was shocking to him. Okay.
Wow.
Now, July 3rd, there was a story in the paper I talked about where they specifically said that the SWAT is used for suicides. They specifically said the SWAT is being used for suicides. And in it, they talked about these robots that they use, the smaller one of which is used for these suicides. And that they have two, you know.
Yeah.
If somebody's suicidal, there's obviously some psychological issues going on,
mm-hmm.
said SWAT team commander Ross Renner of the Fargo Police Department, the lieutenant from the Fargo Police Department. He said, "We don't trust those individuals to not want to harm us as well." That's the quote.
Okay.
So what he's saying is, yes, this person is mentally ill. Also, we don't trust this person.
So he's a trained professional in suicide prevention, and he draws that out of his classes that he learned all that, right?
I don't know.
Probably
I'm just
not.
I'm just saying that if you call the cops, just remember, this is the mindset that they have.
Yeah.
That they don't trust that person, that they see that person as a threat to them.
Yeah.
That is what this SWAT commander said.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the article goes on to say, that's why they send in the robot. In that one case, they went to this man's house. They heard a shot. Rather than going in, maybe the man could have been saved from bleeding to death.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they sent in a robot.
Yeah.
This happened also here in Moorhead. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
A person barricaded themselves inside their garage. She
exactly.
shot herself in the leg.
Yeah.
Luckily, she didn't shoot herself in a place that instantly killed her. Or
mm-hmm.
that they waited for a long too. Because they went and got the SWAT.
That's right.
And they went and got the robot.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Boy, this is just a way to justify that equipment. Putting the robots out there, and I thought they were for bomb squad and things like that, which, again, is a whole nother discussion. But that they're just justifying. They're putting these SWAT teams out every month because there's really no reason to have them. So if they're going to have it, is there a suicide prevention strategy, and they're going to go out once a month and use their SWAT team, it's just a way to justify why they have it in the first place.
Yeah, it seems to me that and the gang task force are a way
oh yeah.
to justify getting more and more toys, such as the paramilitary vehicle they now have,
yeah.
which they use for mostly parades and
mm-hmm.
who knows what. I don't know. What do we need that for in our community?
We don't.
Do we have any reason for why we need something like this?
No.
It just doesn't make sense to me. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we have... In this particular story about the July 3rd, the robot one, they said they use these for bomb situations,
mm-hmm.
okay, these robots. But the team won't use the robot in cases like hostage situations or in cases where it would prolong progress. Who makes that decision? What if a person is bleeding out?
Yeah.
Is the use of SWAT merited then? Doesn't the use of SWAT prolong progress or... In the case of someone bleeding to death, prolong their being without medical care?
I believe so.
I mean, to me, that seems like, it seems very, very unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And for what I said before, when somebody wants to die by suicide by cop, what do you do?
Don't send the cops.
If you send the cops and you send a SWAT team, how is that going to prevent the situation of suicide by cop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they said that they had used these robots in the current team had the robots for 2 years, and they had deployed them five or six times in those 2 years. As of the article of July 3rd of 2013, they had only used these robots five or six times. And by this year... I think that I've already mentioned three or four stories, just random ones,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't even look for all the cases where the police were used.
Wow.
Or where the SWAT team was used.
Yeah.
Now, flash forward to October 5th. The SWAT team is used once again, the Sheriff's Department, ambulance crews, SWAT team all on the scene for a suicide. They called a negotiator to the team. They had their weapons drawn all around the home.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed Lieutenant Bill Offelt for this story, and this is what he said. Anytime you have someone who's threatening suicide, remember, he just used the words anytime.
Anytime,
right.
Yes.
Anytime you have someone who's threatening suicide, they pose not only a danger to themselves, but we don't know if they can pose a danger to others. Same as the commander from the SWAT team that was interviewed before,
mm-hmm.
in June or July said. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can't trust these people that are going to commit suicide because they're going to harm themselves, and they could harm us. So what we've done is they set up a perimeter so that nobody can get in or out of the house. In this same article, the police say they do not always call on SWAT for suicidal situations.
Hmm.
Well, when did they decide to do it? When they feel like the SWAT team is getting a little rusty and they just need to prod them out? When they want to, you know, if they feel like they want to flex this SWAT muscle? Or how do they decide this?
That's a good question.
In a recent review on Massachusetts' use of SWAT teams in the Washington Post, what they found when they actually analyzed the use of SWAT teams is that it was wildly overused. And I'm sure that that is the case for our use here,
mm-hmm.
from what you can just obviously see with your eyeballs and how they behave at these events, at these emergencies or at these situations. I think that it can safely be said that where we see an increase in militarization of our SWAT and an increase in misuse of our SWAT teams for things we never used to use SWAT teams for,
mm-hmm.
that has been done across the board in this country.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily apply just to Fargo, but it definitely does apply across the board, in my opinion. So, in this particular case, this Boston police officer, who was, he had seen the first use of the deployment of SWATs in the 70s, and he said that those were only for armed, barricaded subjects in a building, and the reasons we were deployed were for hostage situations or threats to harm of others.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
In a suicide, there is no threat to harm of others.
Yes.
The person is threatening to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you deploy SWAT? It escalates a situation that doesn't need to be escalated with a mentally ill person.
That's right.
Okay, Nolan goes on to say, that's why they were established. He's talking about SWAT teams. What we're beginning to see is that in small towns like Fargo,
mm-hmm.
Like where NEMLEC has jurisdiction, their officers want to be on SWAT teams, so they're looking for any justifiable way to get in. He said, it's certainly counterproductive to have fully armed, militarized SWAT teams responding to potentially suicidal suspects who are looking for ways out, like suicide by cop situations.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to say, I don't know why you couldn't just have someone respond who knows negotiation strategy techniques without tanks and body armor.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah.
I agree with this man.
Uh-huh.
And he is part of the Boston police force.
Wow.
And has worked with SWAT teams since they first came out. Okay, here's from an article about what the trouble is with these SWAT teams. Let me tell you, okay? SWAT teams have spiked in their use from around 3,000 strikes per year in 1980 to as many as 80,000 a year now.
Wow.
It's an estimate. They are probably close to 100,000 or more.
Wow.
Battering rams or other forced entry devices are used in two-thirds of those raids. Nearly 80% are targeting private homes.
Wow.
Think about that, because when you are advocating for the use of SWATs, every time that you see them used on the TV in the neighboring town, just remember that could be coming to a home near you.
That's right, right next door.
And the great bulk of raids are used in the drug war. About 10% of the time, nearly 4 out of 10 times that they do these, sorry, nearly 4 out of 10 times that they do these, they find nothing.
Wow.
That should be, right there, that should be the primary reason why we do not have SWAT teams at used for hardly anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And only in live shooter barricade situations, hostage negotiation,
yeah.
type situations.
Exactly.
Because this can happen. Specifically because this can happen. These are the kinds of things that have been going on as a result of SWAT teams being able to go rampantly across the country doing all sorts of things SWAT teams were never meant to do. In one Arizona SWAT raid, a local man was found to be keeping chickens in his backyard, and they killed all his chickens. In Florida, a judge ordered the Orange County Sheriff's Department – to stop from sending paramilitary teams out to take down unlicensed barbershops, because that's what they were doing with their SWAT teams down there. They were holding customers and barbers at gunpoint.
Wow.
Yeah. In New Mexico, SWAT teams were pursuing a suicidal man. They saved him from killing himself by doing it for him.
Yeah.
In Georgia, a SWAT team targeted an errant DJ. In Illinois, one SWAT team stormed a man's house because he mocked a politician on Twitter, and that politician used his
influence mm-hmm.
to have a SWAT team sent to his house.
Wow.
Police departments in places like St. Louis, Missouri, which is including of the jurisdiction of Ferguson, make it a matter of policy to execute all search warrants with SWAT teams. And if that doesn't smack of racism,
wow.
I don't know where you've been living. You've been hiding under a rock in America.
Yeah, and that the SWAT actually gets their search warrants just executed. I mean, that the judges are in on it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
This report that I'm talking about in Vox, which I'm going to get to here in a minute, found that the majority of the time, judges just grant the request for a SWAT team raid. Even a no-knock raid, even when they're not given any specific reasons why the no-knock raid is required.
Wow.
And they're supposed to give a reason. They're supposed to give a specific reason. So, ironically, SWAT teams are rarely used for the one thing that they were originally created for. That is the one. Only 7% of SWAT raids are used in this manner.
Wow.
That's what they were created for, and only 7% of the time are they actually used that way. So 90-some percent of the time, SWAT raids are used for something they were never meant for.
Wow.
And that is resulting not just in these types of SWAT for suicide situations, missions, many of which end tragically in death. If you don't believe me, Google SWAT team shows up for suicide kills, and you'll find all
mm-hmm.
sorts of stories. Shows up for mentally ill, kills. SWAT sent for mentally ill, SWAT kills mentally ill, SWAT kills suicide.
Mm.
And you will find it right there in black and white all over this country. People have died at the hands of SWAT, and many for mistakes.
Yeah.
In fact, in 2013, there was less crime than any year since 1978 when I was only a 7-year-old.
Wow.
Not just lower is our crime rate, but it is the total of crimes. Even despite the fact that we have grown roughly by 100 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And murder and non-negligent manslaughter dropped even more than that. So the violent murder-type crimes dropped to an all-time low. The lowest since 1968. That was before I was even born.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the need for SWAT has been falling and rapidly decreasing over the years, yet we have had a increase such that their use is on a 30-year growth track.
Wow.
Two-thirds of all SWAT raids are because of drug war, which most Americans don't believe in anymore,
mm-hmm.
don't believe should be waged any longer.
Yeah.
In the other article that I'm telling you about in Vox, it talks about how cops do 20,000 no-knock raids in America every year. The ACLU analyzed 818 records of these SWAT exercises, and what they found was astonishing. They looked at these from 2011 to 2012 from police departments all over America.
Okay.
And they found 80% of the time, SWAT teams were deployed to execute search warrants.
Wow.
Well, I told you it's closer mm-hmm. to 90-something. So this confirms the statistic. The majority of the time, that's what they're using it for, which is not what it was created for. Instead of the hostage situation, active shooter
mm-hmm.
scenario we talked about. They also found that at least 7 civilian deaths out of 818 SWAT reports. In two of those cases, suspects appear to have committed suicide to avoid being taken by the police.
Mm.
46 civilians were injured. It wasn't clear whether any of the incidents were investigated by prosecutors or the police department, or whether any of the police officers were ever disciplined for the 46 people that they hurt, for the people that they ended up that ended up killing themselves in suicides,
wow.
or the people that they themselves killed.
Wow.
No-knock and quick-knock raids are pretty similar when you're being raided. It's very hard to tell the difference between
mm-hmm.
And then a bang, you know, the flashbang is in your house and they're coming in, or the no knock. But judges approve both of these types of raid on your homes almost all the time without even asking questions.
Wow.
And it seems the article and the data seems to indicate that SWAT raids increase the danger for homeowners and for cops, many of whom are shot. There was one recent case in Texas, I believe, where the man was unaware that they were raiding his home. He shot and killed a SWAT police officer, and he was let go free.
Wow.
No charges, because they did a no-knock raid, and he was trying to protect his home. And he had a right to do that.
Wow.
And I believe also that they had the wrong house.
Oh,
so
boy.
I believe that they were mistaken in their raid in the first place. And also, there was a large number of people that are killed by the police, severely damaged, severely injured, or who are killed as a result of SWAT raids that don't need to happen in this country. The wrong homes are raided, damages are done to people's properties, people are terrorized in the process, people are evacuated from their homes in the vicinity, people are rerouted in traffic, people are held unconstitutionally, I believe, either outside of their property or inside their homes without their consent. So our rights are being eroded so that these paramilitary forces can invade our communities with impunity. And we all sit silently and say, they have to do it.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Nope.
Wake up. They do not have to do this to our communities. They should not be doing this to our communities. And only 25% of the time, remember, the majority of the time, raids are being used to serve search warrants, which they're not intended for in the first place. They're being overused for things they should never be used for, like suicides, for mentally ill people, and for the unjust and racist drug war that is unfairly targeted people of color, so that one in three black men will be in jail in this country. We need to stop this crazy train to nowhere, this pipeline that we have straight into the prisons. The overcrowding here is causing people to write letters to our local media saying that they're being starved in our jails.
Mm-hmm.
The overcrowding is causing for us to use private prison systems, which across America have been accused of serving maggots to the prisoners, cutting corners such that they're giving people poor, inadequate care and even killing them inside, that it's causing riots in the prison. But we're okay in Cass County to start sending prisons, overcrowded prisoners, onto private prisons, subjecting them to those human rights abuses, because we got to keep on that track. We got to keep growing our military force, police department in Fargo. We got to get them more toys, more weapons, more cops, more substations, and more firepower. No, we do not. Let's stop this now. Analyze what we are doing wrong. Do not let this be some canary in the coal mine that all of the people from Fargo and Moorhead and West Fargo and in this region just ignored and looked the other way from and said that they were simply doing it because they were concerned about the safety of their community. You can't lie to yourselves anymore, folks. These are the facts. SWAT teams are not necessary, and the militarization of our police departments has only served to make our communities more unsafe, not more safe. Get it straight. This has been another program of American Crossing Lines. We are talking about SWAT for suicides. I definitely want to hear more about what you have to say. So send us your messages at @media_PPP, or you can check us out on Facebook, follow us on our Facebook page at the People's Press Project. You can also call us.
That's right. You can call us at 701-566-0917. Leave us a message. You know, you got to have something to say about this. We may use it on the air. If you want to be anonymous, you can leave it anonymously. Just tell us who you are and where you're from.
And we will continue to share the tough topics on this, A Mexican Crossing Lines. Sometimes it takes A Mexican Crossing Lines to tell folks on both sides of the aisle what's really going on. And that's what I'm here for. You've been listening to Cindy Gomeshub.
And Duke Gomeshub.
And we're on KPPP LPFN broadcasting online through live 365. You can find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves. I think you're going to take us out with a bit of Etta James.
That's right. It's an old song from the early 1900s. It's public domain music. It's called By the Light of the Silvery Moon.
Let's go sailing on my boat.